Well, it's good to be with you this evening, and just trust that it can be time well spent for us as we come on this Sunday evening, a rainy evening, and rain and chilly and cold, but I hope our hearts can be warmed. I appreciated that Psalm 99 and 100. I had to think that in 99, it talks about God and His holiness and all of those things about God. And then he begins 100 as, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's a result. 100 is a result of 99. And I just had to thank you, Dana, for reading those Psalms. Well, I was searching a little bit of what to bring this evening. And I guess this evening is going to be kind of somewhat of an object lesson. Kind of came out of a conversation I had this week with one of my grandsons. We were just visiting, but it kind of came out of that. I thought, well, I think this will make develop into a sermon. So it starts out with I want to talk about a tractor tonight. I haven't preached too many sermons out of a operator's manual, but I'm going to begin with that. And I don't know how many years ago it would be. I suppose at least 30 years ago, we bought a tractor. It was a 4440 John Deere, of course. And as we bought that tractor, we bought it at an auction, and something came with it that probably, by and large, has been on our shelf, and it's pretty good shape yet. I looked up when that tractor was made by the serial number, and it was made in 1981, so it's just about 40 years old. And it looks like it. It's a tractor that we still use, but not out in the field very much. It's a used for a running an auger, and sometimes use it for maybe an anchor, not a boat anchor, but an anchor for irrigation. And so it's one of those older tractors around that still a good tractor. But something that came with that tractor was an operator's manual. I should have, the very first thing, sit down and open that up and read it. A number of you have operator's manual. Have any of you ever sat down and read the whole thing? Probably not. If you're a man, you don't read it unless you have to, right? It's kind of like doing directions, you know. But I thought, well, I'm just going to look it over here this evening a little bit. The first thing you would do, of course, if you wanted to learn about your tractor, is you'd get in and start it up, right? Well, this manual sort of has a different idea. You open up to about the first page. Well, it's got an index and a picture of the tractor, but you open up the first thing, and the first thing they want to talk about is safety. Now, that's kind of foolish, isn't it? I mean, we all know how to be safe. It says, tells you to operate the tractor safely. Avoid tip-overs. You know? Well, yeah, anybody knows that. Transport it. Stay clear of the PTO. You know? You know that? You know, PTO, they're supposed to have shields on them, you know? You know what PTOs are, the shafts that run stuff, you know? You're supposed to have shields on them, but, you know, they get in the way, and so you just, you know. I've heard of people losing their britches with those things. And once you do that, I've never done it, but I've heard of it. And you learn to keep shields on them, and you're pretty careful with them. But book talks about it, but why bother with the book? Then it's got another picture here of all the controls on this tractor. And it's got all kinds of numbers and lines that go to them and so on. But why do you bother with that? Because all you do is get in and you start turning switches and you go this, and you'll find out eventually how it operates. Might have a little trouble doing it sometimes, but you'll learn. And it even talks about, if it's a new tractor, it talks about breaking it in and what you should do to break that motor engine in and how to do that. But no, we don't have time for that. We get out and we use it. Can you believe that they want you, look what this book wants you to do. Do the following before starting the engine for the first time each day. Now, this is what they want you to do. Check the oil level. Check the engine oil level. But I did that yesterday. Do not operate engine when oil level is below the low mark on dipstick. See page 80 for the oil specifications, all right? Check the coolant level. They want you to do that. Check the fuel filters. And, here's one. Lubricate the front spindles and the steering and so that every day they want you to do that. There must be about 10 different places to do that. That takes a lot of time. It goes on. Operating the engine tells you how to start it. And, you would find this out. Be sure the transmission is in park. Make sure it's in park before you try to start it. And, if you forget the book, you can trial and error. You'll finally get that engine started, probably. Even talks about in cold weather how to use ether in it. And let me tell you, don't use a lot or you'll have problems. Brakes. He even tells you, on brakes on a tractor, you've got two brakes. That's not mean you stop twice as fast if you hit both of them. But if you just hit one, the tractor can swerve. But, you'll learn, even if you don't read the book. And it goes on, and there's a place over here that tells you about all the different ranges and so on of the gears. And how fast they go and all of that kind of stuff. Talks about a differential lock. That's kind of a big word, isn't it? Differential lock. Why would you learn? I mean, that's too big a word to even try to learn what it is, right? There's full of big words in here. And I wouldn't worry about that, what a differential lock is. And then you go on, and then you get into, it talks about your wheels. And what you should do, listen to this. Never operate tractor with a loose rim, wheel, hub, or axle. Well, anybody knows that. But here, if you take a wheel off and put it back on, here's what you need to do. Anytime bolts are loosened, retighten to specified torque. You know what torque is? That's how hard it goes on. You're supposed to get out a torque wrench and put it on. Anybody ever do that on a wheel? Now, on top of that, after driving the tractor 100 yards, we'll get out your tape measure, and before placing it under load, retighten the bolts to the specified torque. Now, this is really getting legalistic, isn't it? Yeah. Check, and then after 3 hours, check bolts after working 3 hours, and again after 10 hours. Anybody ever do that when you change a tire? Have you ever noticed sometimes when you go in and get a new set of tires on your bill, it says check them after so many miles or something? I wonder if anybody's ever done that. But check all bolts frequently and keep them tight. And I read one place, there's other bolts that you're supposed to check every so many hours and so on. And so you're supposed to really pay attention on those tires. And then on top of that, they want to tell you in there how much air to put in your tires. Now, isn't that silly? Anybody can look at a tire and see if it's flat or not. If it's flat, you put in there. And if it's not, why bother? But it's got whatever size tire is. It says how many pounds of pressure you're supposed to put in. And so it sounds like a lot of information and bother to try to do all of that type of thing. Towing says what you're supposed to do if you try to tow the tractor. How to maintain your lights. And then it gets over into fuels and lubricants. They even want to tell you what kind of fuel to use. Can you imagine? They want to tell you what kind of fuel. And in this one, they want you to use diesel. Use either grade number 1, 1D, or grade number 2 fuel as defined by the ASTM designation D975. Now, that sounds really confusing. But I guess that's diesel fuel. Well, use diesel fuel, I guess. And even tells you how to fill your fuel tank. And then on top of that, they want you to use certain kind of oil in the engine. You know, it's got oil in the engine. And then they tell you to use another kind of oil in the transmission. Oil is oil, right? And so what does it make any difference? Lubrication and maintenance. Now, this sort of really gets bothersome. Every 10 hours of operation, it's got a picture here of this tractor and arrows going to all points on that thing of places you're supposed to lubricate and check every 10 hours. Well, if you do that, that's all you're going to get done, right? I mean, that's a, takes a lot of time every day. If you run that thing 10 hours one day, the next day you've got to go through and do all this. And then on top of that, every 100 hours, they've got something for you to do. They want you to change the engine oil every 100 hours and check all the tires. Well, then every 200 hours, they want you to do another list of stuff. They've got, it's two pages of it here, that every 200 hours, they want you to do all of that. And then every 600 hours, they've got another page of it, and every 1,200 hours, they've got some more. And it just looks to me like if you follow the book, you're going to spend all your time working on this tractor. Now, I like this one. Here comes one that I kind of liked. Annually. Just once a year. And they've got some drain and flush and refill the cooling system. Well, once a year. I don't know if ours has ever been done. But then the one I really like is as required. You know, kind of use your own judgment on it. And service the air cleaner and replace the fuel filters. And, well, you don't replace fuel filters till it quits, right? But anyway, so you keep going through. It tells you here how to clean the air filter and all of that kind of stuff. So you probably get an idea where I'm going with this, don't you? By looking at this operator's manual. And why does John Deere spend all that time and effort of putting a manual out for that tractor? Do they do it to make your life miserable? Do they do it so you've got something to do? Do they do it because, we want this person to spend a lot of time on this tractor? No. They do it because they know that in order for a person to get the best use of that tractor and to really make that tractor worthwhile, you need to follow their suggestion. They made it. They're the maker of this thing. They know that tractor inside and out. And they know what it's going to take in order to make that tractor run well and to do the job that you want it to do. John Deere's reputation has a lot to do with good products and good service and and people taking care of that tractor. They're not trying to make life difficult for us, but they're trying to do it for our own good. Now, there's some spiritual applications there, isn't there? Who made us? God made us, didn't he? God made us. And God knows us. He made something that is far more complex than a 4440. There's just no comparison with a tractor like that than how God made us. He made us, our mental capacities, our physical capacities, our social capacity, all those different things. God made us. And so if there is a service manual needed for a 4440, think of how much more is needed for us. We are so complex. And there is just, and we keep finding out more about us as far as our bodies and so on go all the time. I remember it was about 60 years ago, I suppose, when we first started hearing about DNA. Before that, you always heard about, as far as heredity, genes and chromosomes and all that type of thing. And you don't hear much about that anymore. It's all DNA. And that has been so complex that it's taken computers how long and so on to try to map that out. And they keep learning about it. And I've had to wonder how much more there is that we don't know about our bodies and so on. And but originally God made us perfect. God made man perfect, not us, but Adam and Eve. He made Adam and Eve perfect. But he still gave them two commands. He had two things in their operator's manual. What were they? Remember? He gave them two rules or commands there in the Garden of Eden. What were they? All right. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What was the other one? Be fruitful and multiply. Okay. So he gave them two. He just two. And they broke half of them, didn't they? I don't think they even were fruitful and multiplied in the garden. That didn't happen until after the fall, the way it sounds. And but they failed in that. You know, it seems like the more that we disregard the things that God has said, the more trouble we have and the less freedom we have. You ever think about that? The more that we disregard what God has told us in His operator's manual, the more trouble we have. Now, in this operator's manual, in the back part of it, there's a troubleshooting section. And there's, I don't know, several pages of troubleshooting. And it's, if this is, well, for example, the engine knocks. You know what it says? The first possible problem that could be is insufficient oil. And so it says add oil. Oh, okay. So that's your oil gauge, right? So if the engine starts knocking, then you know it's time to add oil. Is that the way it works? That's why we have trouble, isn't it? That's why the Lord wants us to take and obey Him right from the beginning in the little things. Remember that, you know, the book told us check the oil, told us every so often change the oil and so on. But if we neglect that and the engine starts knocking, we've got trouble. And we're going to have major trouble. But and you can go down through and we could draw a lot of parallels to that. But it is so true that the more that we disregard this manual, or the more we disregard this manual, the more trouble we're going to have. You know, if I disregard the tractor manual and neglect the things there because it takes too much time. It just takes too much time to do all that greasing and changing oil and cleaning this and doing that on it. But you know, it's going to take me a lot more time to fix it, isn't it? Done that. I know how that is. I've sometimes neglected some of those things. And you think, I don't have time to do that. But somehow we've got time to fix it when we need to. And the same way when it comes to spiritual things. Well, that takes too much time. And that's not necessary. We can find all kinds of excuses. There's an old saying, we've all heard it probably, a stitch in time saves nine. Remember that one? A stitch in time saves nine. And I have just seen that happen so often when it comes to equipment and so on. If we'd have just taken the time to do it right, you know, but when something goes wrong, it can do a lot more damage than just that one thing. And you know, the same way spiritually. And that is, if we don't take the time and take care of things spiritually, and we can end up with a lot of trouble, and it's going to cost us a lot more than what it would have to do it right. Now, we of course know that the Bible, of course, is our operator's manual for us. It's what God has given to us. And we know that God has given it to us to make us miserable, to make us feel guilty, to be a nuisance for us. No. God has given us His Word because He loves us and He wants the best. He knows that in order for us to operate the way that He wants us to, then we need to follow what He's told us. Now, for example of that, God has taken and He took, we say, well, there's so much of it. There's so much in here. And there is. And we need to read it. We need to look at all of it. But just for the sake of condensing it down, God actually took and condensed down the rules that we need to live by, the operator's manual that we need. He condensed it down to 10 things. Go to Exodus 20, and we're all familiar with this. But go to Exodus chapter 20. And let's just look at those 10 things that God has given in order for us to operate so that we can have a life that is pleasing to Him. Now, I'll be going on beyond this yet, but I want to say this. You know, when it comes to this 4440, even if I followed that book exactly, and I doubt if there's an operator around that followed everything in that book, but even if they did, there would still be parts that wore out. We just had trouble with a combine yesterday that I had to think. Now, was there something that we should have done on that to keep that from springing a leak? I don't know what we would have done. I don't know of anything that could have been done. But so in a machine, you've got things that happen. The parts wear out, irregardless of how well we maintain them. And you know, really in a sense, that's us too, isn't it? You know, we can follow the Lord, we can do the best we can, and the Lord can help us, and we can be one of His children. But this body still wears out. We still have struggles at times. But you know, it's going to be a lot less, and there's going to be ways through them if we follow what He says. Now let's just go through these quickly and just see how the Lord gave us these Ten Commandments for our good. Not so that He could just feel good about giving them to us and thought this was good, but He gave them. And God spake, starting at verse 1, Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And now the first three commandments, number one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is that for our good? Absolutely. If God made us, we belong to Him. And if we go following other gods, we're going to fail. We're going to get ourselves into deep trouble. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And then the third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And so those first three have our relationship with God. That has to be number one. And that is very important, our view of God, our relationship to Him, how we think of Him, and how we relate to Him. Then we go to number four, and it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is that for our benefit? Did God say, well, let's just make them sit still for one day? No, God wanted us to do it. He knew it was for our good. And I feel sorry for people that go out and work 7 days a week. He did it for our good, that He gave us one day a week to rest and to worship. The fifth one is, I'll finish that. I guess there's more on that. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, Sabbath day, and hallowed it. And then we go to number five. And he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, he gave that for our good. He wanted us, he knew that if we would honor our parents, that would be a benefit to us. Not to make it hard for us, but to make it beneficial. Number six, thou shalt not kill. How would you like to live in a society where it didn't matter if people killed or not? That would be, it'd be pretty miserable, wouldn't it? You'd be looking over your shoulder all the time. And it'd be terrible to live in a society where it didn't matter about killing. The seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, in our society we're living in today, a good share of our problems, our social problems that we have in our country, come through this whole sin of adultery. And it's just torn up homes. It has created havoc with children. and it's become a real mess. And God is saying, you don't want that. You want when two people get married, it's for life. So thou shalt not commit adultery. The next one is thou shalt not steal. Again, for our benefit, for us stealing, or we don't like to be stolen from. And he said that is for your good. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Lying. It's so prevalent. People lie today without even batting an eye. It's just commonplace for people to lie. And in number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You think about it, covetousness is really at the root of a lot of sin. Wanting something that does not belong to you. That's really at the root of adultery. It's at the root of stealing, at the root of even killing, and a lot of different things that the whole area of covetousness is a root to root of. Now, so he reduced it to 10. Has anybody ever kept them all? Nobody has, have they? Except the Lord Himself. And we still stand condemned before Him. But did you know that the Lord even reduced the 10 down some more? He condensed them. Go over to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and Jesus, in talking with some of the, I think it was a lawyer, the Pharisees and the scribes and some of them, in Luke 22, verse 34, it said, he was getting the best of them in some of their arguments and so on. In verse 34, it says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, in other words, he had a question. It was kind of a trick question. And that's the kind of questions oftentimes that are asked. They're trying to get people to say something that they can turn around and condemn them for. You see that all the time today. And he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And I think what he was saying there is, Master, which is the greatest of these Ten Commandments? Which one is the greatest of them all? Jesus then said to him, and he quotes, and by the way, these quotes are Old Testament verses. This is not something that he said. Now, it's not one of those things that he said, now I say unto you, now in the New Testament. He is actually quoting Old Testament verses. And he said, here's the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And he said, that is the greatest. I think that's found over in Deuteronomy 6, I think. He said, that is the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Would that take care of those first three of the Ten Commandments? Certainly would, wouldn't it? And then he goes on and says, this is the first and great commandment. In verse 39 it says, and the second is like unto it. Here's the second greatest commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. See? All the law and the prophets. said everything is, he condenses it all down to two. And you know, if we would follow those completely, and here again, I don't think any of us have followed that completely. But if we would follow that completely and perfectly, we would keep those Ten Commandments perfectly. Because in one of those, if we don't do it, it breaks one of those Ten Commandments. And, you know, it's interesting. The Lord started out in the garden with two basic commandments, and he ends up with two basic commandments, isn't it? You know, really, you think about it, if Eve would have kept those two commandments, love the Lord with all her heart and neighbors herself, she wouldn't have eaten of that fruit. And we wouldn't fail either if we did that. But you know, in all of this, while we can take our Bible and we can look at that as an operator's manual for our lives, and we do, and that's good. We need to do that. But you know, in all of it, we can't do it ourselves. We need the Lord in control of our lives. We need to have a converted heart. We need to have the Holy Spirit fill us and lead us and guide us, give us the power to live. And it's impossible to do that. But I just want to encourage us this evening. Let's take and let's look at the Scriptures. Let's look at them as God's gift to us. The Lord gives them to us for our benefit. He gives them to us because He loves us. He's not trying to make life tough for us. He's not trying to make things miserable. He wants it because He knows it's the best. He made us. He knows what we need. And so I just trust that this can be a little bit of an object lesson here this evening that can be a benefit to us and that we can learn from it. So in closing, let's sing. We had a song that we were going to sing, 140. I think it's Cling to the Bible. And maybe we can sing that in closing. And then we'll have prayer and you'll be dismissed. So 140 in the Christian hymnal.